Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. I've got a crazy show today because I have three amazing women who have come to discuss their new program called Glutes, Core, and Pelvic Floor. These women are industry leaders, and I think it's great that they've come together and combined all of their skills to serve us all. So I'm excited about this. I've had a quick look through the program. I'm actually going to go and do it today, so you'll be pleased to know that. So I'm going to introduce all of them to you so they can say a quick hello and then just tell you about this collaboration. So we have Megan Calloway, who is familiar to you listeners. So hi, Megan.
Hi.
I have Kelly Hart Davis on as well. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. And Dr. Sarah Ellis Duval, who's a physical therapist. So welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So these three wonderful ladies are co-creators of the Glutes, Core, and Pelvic Floor. And together they empower people to create positive change through a better understanding of movement, which is always a go-to for me. If you can't move well, don't do the exercise. Work on the movement and build from there. So with all their combined coaching expertise, they're going to teach you to exercise with confidence while learning to love your body for all it can do for you. Amazing mission statement. I love that. So let's talk about how you three all met, because this is like exciting for me because I often wonder how collaborations start. I read that you bonded over wine, laughter, and good food. So that's always a good place. You were drunk when you came up with this project, right?
No.
I'll take it to you, Megan. And if you can just give us a quick how I met these wonderful ladies.
Well, I met these wonderful ladies online. I can't remember how I first met them. I think it might have been an article that we collaborated on. And we kind of just got to know one another. I've always been a huge fan of Kelly's work, Sarah's work. So we kind of just started talking and getting to know one another. And it kind of took off from there.
And Megan, you come from our last podcast. You come from, you're a strength coach of 15 years. And they tend to be gen pop, although you have trained athletes. You are the ultimate pull-up program lady, as you know. And you've also talked about your issues after your car crash and how it redefined what fitness meant for you. And is there a lot of that in this program? Have you like put a lot of yourself into this from a personal experience, knowing that sometimes exercise can't be easy for people as well?
Yeah. I mean, even with this program, it's three modules. Every single module, you're mastering the fundamental movements. Obviously, as you start, it's going to be more basic. Each module will become progressively tougher, but we're teaching men, women, I mean, people of all genders, how to move properly, how to feel good when exercising, how to feel, I mean, you'll feel empowered, you'll feel confident, and you'll just feel like, will help your body feel really good.
That's great. I've looked at the first module because it was available to me. And even though the exercises are foundational exercises, it's going to be a good workout. I'm looking forward to trying it out. There's clearly a lot of thought gone into the programming.
Yeah. Oh, a ton of thought. We cover all the fundamental movements. No matter where you are, I talk about fitness journey. We kind of meet you wherever you are currently at and build you up from there.
Okay, that's great. Kelly, is this a program for men, women of all levels and of all, like, so like at the ultimate beginner to like an athlete? Can anybody benefit from this program, do you think?
We do highly recommend that you have a foundation of strength training. We want you to be familiar to it. So it's not really an introductory course to the gym. We expect some sort of familiarity with a hip hinge, a basic squatting pattern, a basic push-up pattern, a basic pull pattern, simply because we want you to be able to progress through the program and not be at risk of injury. And one amazing thing about this program is it's perfect for somebody who's intermediate or perhaps who's been an athlete their whole life. And they've developed a lot of compensating patterns. So with Sarah's work involved in this, she really digs deep into troubleshooting. So perhaps someone like you who dives into the program, you're familiar with pretty much everything in it, but there might be some minutiae that you're dealing with your body. Perhaps you have hip pain or issues with movement. And we really dig deep into that.
Well, I know that you co-authored a book called Strong Curves, A Woman's Guide to Building a Better Butt and Body. And I will always say that like a strong butt saves lives. It basically makes you immortal. That's my opinion.
Yes.
So when I see a nice, round, juicy bum, I'm using the hands for all you.
International peach symbol.
I was doing the international peach symbol, yeah. Can you talk a little bit why there is knowledge in the fitness industry that talks about the power of having strong glutes and why it's really important for all the whole gen pop to sort of focus on that, our posterior chin?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the human body, right, the glutes are really the center of your body and they control much of your movement. They're attached to the spine, they're attached to the pelvis, they're attached to your lower limbs. So it's just very important that we build up this muscle that has so much involvement in multiple different movement patterns. So it's not just about having like a nice squat booty. I mean, your butt's involved in jumping and running and rotational movements, in the health of your back and the health of your pelvis. It is a sexy thing. People like to focus on like glutes and core for the sex appeal. I mean, the word pelvic floor isn't super sexy, but it does sexy things. But it's really about functionality. So we try to play that in there as well.
That really means a lot to me because as we age, and there'll be women listening to my podcast that are in the 40s, 40s, 60s, 70s, you know, and forever. One of the things I know from our coaching is our transverse plane tend to just sort of like degenerate slightly. And so really working on glutes as a functional muscle rather than an aesthetic muscle as well, like building that lateral strength and being able to stand up from the floor. Like,
absolutely.
Until you're like 90, I don't ever want to use like a climbing frame, right? I want to be doing it all by myself. So it's one of those muscles that I think is like an empowering muscle because you continue to need to use it and the strength goes from that quite quickly, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, they say that a primary reason that elderly people end up in care facilities is because they can no longer get up and down by themselves. So, you know, focusing on the trunk as a unit, getting the glutes to work with the abdominal muscles, it's like a lifelong gift that you give yourself, yeah. Along with just being super hot. So, you know, that's like the icing on the cake.
Oh my goodness. So talking about super hot, I'm going to now go over to Sarah. So I'm going to give everyone a chance to talk. So Sarah, I need some sexy talk from you. So just to reiterate, so Kelly and Megan come from the strength and conditioning side. They're both personal trainers, either in an in-person or online role. And Sarah's expertise comes from physical therapy. And your contribution to this book is not just about the pelvic floor, is it, Sarah? It's about other aspects of our body that we may not be totally aware of, or maybe to do with any pains or issues we've built up over the years, maybe?
So the pelvic floor is one section in one of the modules. I want to talk a little bit about how it applies to men as well as women in ways they might not think, because people don't think pelvic floor, oh, that's a woman's issue. I don't need to think about that. But if you've ever taken a car trip and you have that deep pain in your butt and you just want to get out and stretch and it's kind of naggy and achy, well, that's probably coming from your pelvic floor. So there's a lot of pelvic floor involvement in the body that we don't actually realize. So the pelvic floor is one module in one section, and we go through some troubleshooting. But then I also talk about low back pain, what might be causing your low back to ache, what might be causing it to hurt. Then we look at breathing, which you wouldn't think breathing is that big of a deal, but it's the foundation for everything. So we look at breathing, we look at how to get your abs to fire. I mean, how many women have you talked to that complain about that lower belly pooch?
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll look at that. Because, I mean, like Kelly was saying, we're going to have a lot of fun with strength and education, but we're also going to look at aesthetics, you know? So we're going to have a lot of fun with education and then the application of that education so that you can look better and feel better.
That's so great. Going through menopause can change a woman's body. And as we age, things change. And there's a lot of acceptance needs to come into place that things may not be quite the way they were. But as far as what we can do and what we can control, I think that that's where physical exercise is super important, because we can sort of build a body that's almost like an engine for life. And so like when it comes to the pelvic floor, when I speak about the pelvic floor, I also obviously talk about the breathing mechanics of the diaphragm and the lower back, the multifidus and the deep transverse abdominis muscles. And this is where this like pouch comes in. And I don't like to get too technical when we're speaking to most of our clients, because they don't care. They don't want to hear that, but they want to know, how do I get rid of this? Mm-hmm. And often it's a control issue, isn't it, to do with our muscular. So can you talk a little bit about that, like what you recognize in your work as sort of like things that women can do to help control and improve the way their posture is and the way they hold themselves?
Well, if we can make it as natural as possible, then it makes it easy. So if we can bring it back to breathing, if I can work on getting that great inhale, I can set them up for a great exhale. Your transverse, those deep abdominals, are the first ones to show up for a forced exhale. I don't know if you knew that or not. And so getting back some balance to those lower abs is often, you know, involves bringing in the pelvic floor. So just building awareness and then making it as functional and natural as possible, so you're not having to do a bunch of complicated stuff, which you can get a little bit complicated because you have to have some body self-awareness. So I walk through how to become aware of different parts of your body. We go through how to become aware of the pelvic floor, how to feel the front of your pelvic floor, how to feel the back of your pelvic floor, how to tell the difference in contractions because you have both a squeeze and a lift. But like I said, that's one module.
You know I'm doing it now. The minute anyone talks about Kegels or like pelvic floor contractions, I'm like, okay.
Well, now see, here's the thing. I'm not a huge Kegel fan. Okay. I think they have a place, but okay. I don't think that they're not the middle place.
So Sarah, could you tell me a little bit more about how and when you would use Kegels? Because we hear so much about them in mainstream media and culture.
Yes, I think Kegels have a place and I think they are awesome, but I don't think they're the end all be all of the whole big picture of the pelvic floor. So I think when you're initially finding your pelvic floor, it's really important to make sure that you can both fully contract and fully relax your pelvic floor. But a lot of women get into trouble because they end up just tightening. They think, oh, I need to do my Kegels. And then they sit there in their car while they're driving carpool and they do 100 Kegels. And then before they know it, their pelvic floor is tight, their leaking is worse. So I would say about 50 to 60% of the women that I see have actually done too many Kegels and they need a little bit more functional strength. They need to learn how to relax their pelvic floor a bit more. They need to learn how to breathe better. And they need to back off a little bit from the Kegels and work on glutes, work on abs, and then let the pelvic floor become part of the system instead of constantly trying to tighten it.
And so if we were to like look at the anatomy of a woman, and I know this is for men too, but I just want to focus on the women right now. Am I looking at like not squeezing my anus as much and trying to focus on a different area? I mean, I want a visual. I want women to see you and go, what are you talking about?
Okay. So when I talk about a Kegel, I talk about stopping the flow of urine and stopping gas, but not letting your butt squeeze.
So that's hell. We're not magicians, Sarah.
Okay. So that is an isolated Kegel when we think about just those pelvic floor muscles. But then we have those little accessory muscles that kind of come in and help the pelvic floor. And those are those deep hip rotators where we would think about the obturator, the coccygeus, the coccygeus and the piriformis. And that's where when it comes around, a lot of people have a piriformis issue that's actually more interrelated to pelvic floor tightness than it is actually a hip issue. So that can be kind of cool. So working through pelvic floor strength and being able to fully contract and fully relax the pelvic floor within the big picture of the body, instead of just doing 100 tightening a day and not fully relaxing, is very important.
Yeah. And I know I have like a sort of a personal story that fits in with that, because I did go to a pelvic floor. I went through a phase of having incontinence. I just didn't understand or expect or any of those things. It was a long time after having children, and I went to a pelvic floor physiotherapist, which is, I have to say, is the best thing in the world. And she just said that, like, I would, my, where my anus was, it was like, it was hypo. It was like hypertonic. And I'd just been squeezing too hard. And I just was like, the information that we're being told in the mainstream, it isn't helpful. And so I think that, like, people like you and going to see people in person are what we need to do, right? So that we actually really understand what our body requires.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think you can take a little bit of advice and then it can become dangerous and then it can end up making you worse while you're, you know, and it's really hard because you're working so hard to try to get your body back and to try to keep it in shape. And then you take a little piece of advice that's, you know, maybe a good intention, but not a full picture, not a full, you know, the full scope of the education on something. And then it ends up going a bit wrong.
That's great. So thank you for clarifying that on the Kegels. And the bottom line is, if you get the program, you'll teach us this from the foundations up. So it sort of will clear up the confusion anyway, right?
Yes, we'll go over how to get in touch with your pelvic floor, how to contract it. And then I see this, like you're talking about menopause, to bring it back around to there. I think sometimes we work on getting so much stronger, but then we forget about our pelvic floor. So if you just want to be a walker, you probably don't really even need to do any Kegels. Once you establish good pelvic floor, you know, a good pelvic floor contraction, we know your pelvic floor can work well, then you know what? You're probably pretty good to go. But if you want to go and lift heavy, you probably need a little bit above average pelvic floor strength. So this is where it comes down to tailoring. So a lot of women, the kids are growing up and they're getting older and they're not quite so frazzled. At least that's what I'm hoping, because I have a 2 and 4 year old. So I think it's easier.
We're frazzled in a completely different way.
They
slowly peck away your will to live, basically. But anyway, carry on.
Yes, a 3 year old did that. So when you're looking at getting in shape, so your kids are in school and you have a little bit more time to go to the gym and devote to yourself and you get in shape, but then often the pelvic floor gets a little forgotten or it gets overdone, like you're saying, where you end up doing too many. So finding that nice balance of doing enough pelvic floor strengthening to be beneficial is good.
And then I have just one more question on that. So I'm talking about like weights, like vaginal weights or vibrators and things. Do you see a place for those in a protocol for women?
So I think there is a time and place for pretty much everything. I'm open. Just when I say I don't think that's a good idea, a patient walks in where I'm like, dang it, that one thing I said I would never do, that's exactly what that person needs. But I don't think that they're what the average person needs. I think women jump to vaginal weights before they can establish a good contraction, and certainly before they can relax. If you're a power lifter and you need an extreme, you know, physical fitness in your pelvic floor, like you need to be really strong, then that's when I think maybe vaginal weights might not be a bad idea, because you need that above and beyond strength. But if you're the average person and you're doing an average workout and you're not pushing your body into that, you know, level of intense demand, then your pelvic floor probably, you know, doesn't really benefit that much from a vaginal weight, aside from just normal pelvic floor exercises.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for clarifying that. And if in doubt, seek a professional.
Yes, exactly. You see your local pelvic floor PT. Have them check you out. They can tell you how strong you are. They can tell you if you're tight. They can tell you if you're weak. They can give you all this great information about your pelvic floor so you can go home and apply it.
Let's then talk about what a Kegel is and what a pelvic floor contraction is and what a pelvic floor lift is.
Okay, absolutely. So doing a Kegel means that you would think about, you're in an elevator and you're with somebody you want to impress, and all of a sudden you realize you had beans for lunch and you have gas and you're trying to hold in your gas. Okay, that is doing a Kegel. That is contracting your pelvic floor, but that is contracting the back of your pelvic floor. So oftentimes women will be able to contract the back, but not the front. And so when we think about leaking or stress incontinence, we need to be able to contract the front of our pelvic floor well. And I find that the pelvic floor tends to be a follower, not a leader in the body. And that's why we want to look at the glutes. We want to look at the abs. We want to look at what's going on with those other deep hip rotators. Like you're talking about the different planes of motion, because the pelvic floor is a reflection of what's going on with the rest of the body. How are we handling our breathing? How are we gripping our abs when we stand? You know, what's going on in our hips? And oftentimes the pelvic floor will kind of get on board and become strong if the rest of us is doing well. But if we stand around and we grip our glutes and we have weak, tight glutes and we have, you know, deep hip rotators that are tight, and we have a shallow breathing pattern and we clench our abs, you know what? Our pelvic floor is probably not going to be that great either.
So if we have somebody who buys this program and they're having, say, urge or stress incontinence issues, are these things that they can sort of apply to their own sort of like home practice? I don't really know how to say it, but practice. Or would you suggest that they like actually go to a pelvic floor physiotherapist if it's really a set?
Well, I think
they're not in control. I mean, I'm just trying to find the line that means it's something they can do for themselves or it's something they need a little bit of help with.
Absolutely. So this is a base level of education on the pelvic floor and a pelvic floor contraction. So I definitely always recommend a pelvic floor PT appointment because I think it's great. You can learn so much about your body. You can learn whether or not your pelvic floor is tight, how well you're contracting it, if you're contracting your left side more than your right, which can give us clues as to what needs to work in the hip. So if you have one side of your pelvic floor that's working a little too much and one side that's not working enough, that gives me clues as to what's going on within the hip structure. So I do an online program that dives a little bit deeper into serious issues like pelvic organ prolapse and, you know, severe incontinence, things like that, where I work with pelvic floor PTs. But this is a great program for giving women that base knowledge of, okay, how's my breathing? Am I getting my pelvic floor on board? And I would say for somebody with some minor incontinence issues, like they might leak a little bit, you know, once every 3 months when they sneeze, it will probably take care of that because it's going to get them breathing correctly.
Yeah, chances are that it's just not all the dominoes are lined up and there's something that's not quite right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so now I've got an overview of sort of what is entailed in the program. So we have, you know, we've got the strength and conditioning part. We've got all of the accessory stuff that deals with our breathing and our pelvic floor and any other issues that we can maybe look at home. How does that look in a program? Because that sounds like a lot of information. So is there a way that you've like simplified this so that I don't go, oh, I don't know where to start?
Yes. So in each section, I build on the education. Okay. So Megan and Kelly have this awesome workout program built out. So you go in, you get your workout, you get to start working out, which is sometimes the hard part when you start learning is you're like, where's the workout? I don't want to learn more. I just want to work out. And then I've got the education modules within each workout program that correlates with building that foundation. So you get posture in for the first module. So we work on how you stand, we work on your breathing, and then we move into the core and pelvic floor, and then we move into back pain and piriformis syndrome and IT band pain. So lots of people with hip pain, so if you have that outer hip pain or deep butt pain. So we just kind of move through so it's not overwhelming and it's not all at once.
Okay, so that's great. So Megan and Kelly, so do you want to add anything to that about like how you intertwined all of your knowledge with Sarah's like expertise in the pelvic and physiotherapy? I actually want to call it physiotherapy because that's what I know it as, but it's physical therapy.
I think it depends on what country you live in.
Yeah, it's regional for sure.
Yeah. I've also provided a really, I think it's 12 minutes long, a really extensive tutorial on push-ups, basically starting from scratch, building you all the way up, explaining every technical component, what you should do, what you should not do. So that will really help people master that fundamental movement. And then I also have another really long tutorial on hip hinging. And I once again talk about what to do, what not to do. And I provide a lot of different basic exercises that teach people how to master this movement. And then there is also one other really extensive tutorial that I provide for the foot. Because, I mean, a lot of people, they have feet that might not necessarily be strong enough. They might not even be standing properly. So that's holding them back from performing countless exercises. So I do add in different kind of longer tutorials in addition to the workout tutorials that you get. Every single exercise that Kelly and I provide, it does come with a really extensive tutorial. So we talk about what you should be doing and then we show you what to do versus just giving a video or a written description. So it's really thorough. And one of the biggest things with our program, we want people to feel like they're working with us in person, but from the comfort of their own home, their gym, wherever they choose to work out and on their own schedule.
A lot of times people will buy an online program and then just left floundering, aren't they? They,
Yeah.
They get the online program and there's all this information and then they're like, oh my God, like, I don't know where to start. There's too much to do. And I like that you've done it in the modules. It's very clear when I looked at that it's got its own software, it's got its own platform. It's not complicated. It's very simple. I could see straight away where I needed to go. And are you saying then, so I'll take this to Kelly, because you'll be very polite and doing as you were told. I said, don't interrupt each other. So you're good. But Kelly, do you... So sort of building on what Megan has just said, do you find that like these deep intensive ones are like things that you can just go to at any time? You don't have to like do those in order. You might be like, you know what? My push-up sucks. And I need to just go back to that. I need to just like learn to hold the plank again. I learn to know like my proper alignment and stuff. Is that the type of program this is? Like it's there for the long term?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're offering it. You purchase the program and you get it for the lifetime of the program. It's not like 12 weeks that goes away. We don't anticipate everyone to purchase it and rush through it in 12 weeks because it's about your own journey, your experience. We're meeting you where you're at. So if you dive into module one and you're like, holy moly, this is tough, then take your time with it. Do what you can. Immerse yourself in the education components. Revisit it. If you dive in and you're like, oh, I've got this. This is perfect. This is right where I am. You might move through it faster. And then you're right. You might revisit certain elements at a later time when you realize you've gotten stronger and it's coming to you more naturally. So, I think with any program, there is a sense of overwhelm, especially with this, because it is very informative, but we just naturally relax you into it and it doesn't feel forced and intense, like a P90X where it's just like, go, 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 go. Like even if you don't know what you're doing, just go. And we're like, no, we want you to feel comfortable doing this with us.
So Kelly, I mean, we all lead busy lives and I see that you have two teenage kids and I know that I'm like an unpaid Uber driver. So like finding time for my workouts is like, it's hard. I do prioritize them and sometimes it's difficult for women to do that when they've got like a huge amount of things to do. Yeah. So like how have you considered that when writing this? Because it must be the same for you. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And I always, you know, people always say to me, oh, you work in fitness, you have a gym at home, you're self-employed, you must just work out all the time. And for me, I like to tell people it's not about the hours you put in, it's about the consistency of your efforts.
And the quality as well.
Yeah. So yeah. I stay in shape and I carry as much muscle and I stay as lean as I do, not because I'm a gym fanatic, but because I'm consistent with myself. And if I do fall back, if I have a bad week, if I get sick, if I'm traveling a lot and my diet's off par, then I just roll right back into that as soon as I can. I'm not like, oh, I failed. You know, if you get through module one and then and life happens and suddenly like 3 weeks later, you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't looked at this program in 3 weeks. Just get right back in there.
And you can start any...
Absolutely.
You need to, because like you say, this is for all levels and you can.
Yeah.
And so in your opinion, any of you ladies now, what if you had like a go-to exercise that you would always include, like in your own personal workouts, what would it be? Like I have mine, like I train with the Ultimate Sandbag and my favorite exercise is the max lunge, which is like a rotational lunge because it just works all planes of motion and everything. And it makes me feel like a total badass bitch. And I love it. Like, so what's yours? I can pretty much guess what Megan's is going to be, but.
Don't stare or don't typecast. No, I'm kidding. It is that.
I already have. What the
heck? It is kind of, well, I mean, pull-ups, I'm going to say more than one. I love pull-ups. I love front squats, trap bar deadlifts, and push-ups.
Trap bar deadlifts. Wow. That's specific, but I agree. I love
it. For me, like pretty much every single workout I try to have some sort of hinging pattern worked in there. Definitely that's my go-to. If I'm very, very short on time and I've got like 15 minutes, then I'm going to hammer out. I'm definitely doing some type of deadlift hip hinge pattern. Absolutely. Yeah.
I know. I love deadlifts, but I've got really long arms. And I think when you've hung like a gorilla or an orangutan, deadlifts like just so much easier. What about you, Sarah?
You should start doing my sport then. Well, so I've been loving, because I do nothing but pulling.
You climb?
Yes. So I do nothing but pulling. I've been really into windmills and bottoms up kettlebell presses, just because they feel like, if I do pull-ups, it's like, great. Okay. This is the sixth time this week I've done pull-ups. So I want to do something, and climbing involves lots of hamstrings. So I want to do some opposite movement. It just feels really good in my body. So yeah. So those have been.
You do a lot of pushes.
I do a lot of pushing stuff just to counter all of the mini pulling.
And so what is like an ideal number of times a week that you would suggest that women work out, or, and how long for? I mean, there's numbers get thrown all around the industry, right? But what's an ideal schedule that you would recommend to people?
I recommend whatever works for you.
Yeah, it depends.
Like, as long as you're moving and you're feeling good and you're enjoying it, it might be 6 days a week. It might be 30 minutes, you know, three times a week. It's whatever you can fit in without feeling overwhelmed or overburdened.
Yeah, I'm like the whole quality over quantity as well. Because it's what you do that matters, right? I mean, that's the ultimate thing. And like for me, like if I have 10 minutes on the morning before, like I was recording this podcast, I just went and did a few kettlebell swings and some pull-ups, because I'm doing Megan's pull-up program. A little plug there. And so is there anything else you want to add to the conversation, ladies? Because you've just got two more minutes before the show's up. And I just love the expertise that you're all bringing to the table. So is there any like little bits of value you can give to the people listening?
Yeah, we did build in. So you got to ask us individually. We did build in another component, you know, just to spice it up a little bit, where we did bonus interviews with top experts in different areas. So Megan focused on fat loss and nutrition. Sarah focused on movement and pain management. And I focused on mindset. So we're bringing in not only our own expertise, but the expertise of others.
That's awesome. Who else have you interviewed for the program? Or can you not say yet? Is it?
I did Dean Somerset and Zach Long. So we talked about hip pain with Dean and talked about back pain with Zach.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, two good people there. Kelly?
I interviewed mindset experts. So I have a clinical psychologist. She's a nutrition therapist, but she really focuses on mindset. I had another woman who's a nutritional therapist, but she focuses on overcoming binge eating disorder and addiction. And then I have a gentleman who is an expert on developing sort of a conscious living element into your life.
That's awesome. I really like that. That's great. And then Megan, who did you interview?
I interviewed Lee Peel. And we talked about nutrition, fat loss, lifestyle, and just a bunch of stuff.
She's coming on.
I know.
She's coming on the show. So there's a holistic approach to this whole thing. And I think that what's really important is, especially the work that Kelly is introducing as well, is like, that's to me the final component in a complete approach to exercise. But mind, body, soul, basically.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we're all firm believers that it is not emotionally in tune with your body, and you don't work on your emotional health, then every physical aspect you do for your body will eventually start to break down and be counterproductive.
Agreed completely. Well, this was really great to hear from you all, ladies. And now, where do we go from here? Where do I find you?
It's glutes, core, pelvic floor.
We have a 3-day challenge to get you into the right mindset. Kelly starts it off with mindset. I talk a little bit about getting those lower abs and pelvic floor on board. And Megan runs you through some great hip hinging education. So we've got a great free 3-day challenge that would be a great place to start.
Okay, ladies, so that's great. So if I send people to glutesfloorpelvicfloor.com and they can start their 3-day like trial, free trial in, or the introduction, and all the information's there. I'm really happy to have you guys on the show. You're all so great. So thank you, Kelly, Megan, and Sarah. You can say a collective goodbye.
Thank you so much. I didn't thank you in the beginning, so thank you so much for having us.
Oh, no, you're welcome. I know you're thankful. You're a thankful person. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and tune in next week for some more guests. Take care for now.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.